Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, he healed. It seems foreign to us if we look back and we read about the construction of the tabernacle. It was this mobile temple. That's really what it was. It was a tent, but it wasn't just a tent like any other tent. It was a tent designed by God, and we are told in the book of Hebrews, a place where God would come in his presence among his people to forgive sins that was modeled after a heavenly model, as a temple that exists in heaven. And there it is on earth, recreated in the midst of God's people. Now, all sorts of people in the ancient world had temples. They had gods and temples galore. What made this one, this tabernacle that the people followed and walked with all the way through the wilderness to the promised land and then on into it, what made it different from all those other places of worship, as we would say in today's parlance? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
What made the worship practices here that are commanded by God, and in particular the place where it was supposed to take place, the tabernacle, different from the worship practices and the places of worship for the pagans all around ancient Israel, God's people?
Yes, I'm actually going to quote what I said in my sermon Sunday, that when we attend worship in church, we are actually having a back taste of the earthly Eden prior to the fall into sin, and a foretaste of the heavenly Eden, which you just spoke about, which of course will come to fruition after Judgment Day. And it's quite interesting that the tabernacle is made to remind us both of that earthly Eden and, of course, looking forward to the heavenly Eden with the church that, of course, replaces the tabernacle and the temple. But the first thing we need to talk about a little bit about how the tabernacle is a back taste of the earthly Eden.
Okay, so let's do that. What makes it that? What are you talking about?
Well, the very fabric of the tent, fauna and flora, are woven into the very fabric of the tent, which is kind of interesting, reminding us of the Garden of Eden. Then you have the lampstand that is put in the sanctuary, which represents the tree of life. If you'll recall, Adam and Eve were removed from the Garden of Eden lest they would eat from the tree of life and then live forever in their accursed state. You have also the table that's put in, which is God's living presence. You have two altars. The bronze altar reminds us of the curse of the law. The wages of sin is death. And the incense altar is for the prayers of the people going to God. The basin reminds us of our uncleanness. And the table that's inside, of course, the tabernacle reminds us of God's living presence. You also have a veil and a screen, and that veil or curtain, which is separated at Christ's death, is very, very important because it shows that though we can be cleansed to enter into God's presence physically, we cannot be cleansed in our conscience. So there are so many things that the tabernacle is made out of. It's made out of gold, silver, which is a symbol of authority and wealth. It's made out of bronze, which represents strength. It has blue and purple yarn, and those colors are associated with wealth and royalty. It also has scarlet yarn, which in Moses' day was used in ritual cleansing from sin and sickness. Fine linen is made up of that, which is really important because this shows that God's purpose is to restore us again to righteousness. The fine linen is often white cloth, suggesting purity and refinement. But no such purity can take place unless animals are sacrificed, and there is a blood sacrifice, pointing, of course, forward to Jesus' sacrifice. Therefore, the curtains are made of goat's hair, an animal used for sacrifice. The tent roof is made of ram skins, which is an animal of sacrifices. And then the various plants, for example, oil for the lampstand is from olive oil, signifying plenty. And, you know, that's God's promise that there will be plenty in the new kingdom. And, I mean, I could keep on going for another hour. I'll just end with this one. There are gems, precious stones, and the ones that are named here for the tabernacle also cover the heart of the high priest, and they show how God regards the tribes of Israel as precious. And as I said, Todd, I could keep on going, and we see so many symbols. We kind of like calling them types, and since we began this Bible study almost 10 weeks ago with Joseph leading to Moses, coming out of the Egypt, out of through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, we see type after type that points forward to the true Savior, Jesus, who will fulfill all things perfectly.
So what we have here is a, we really, really do need to emphasize this. We have this thing that was not the design of Moses or the idea of the people or copied after, say, some other pagan temple that was popular in the day, or even the temples that they knew while they had been in slavery in Egypt. This is of God's design and therefore of divine institution.
That's absolutely correct. And when we get to the church, we'll see the important elements also that are found in the church, which, of course, replaces the tabernacle and the temple. But these items also reminded people of spiritual truths. For example, when they saw the candelabra, they would be reminded, of course, of the tree of life. And so they knew that the promise to Adam and Eve that a Savior would come through Eve would be so that once more they would be able to feed from the tree of life, which is specifically mentioned in the book of Revelation to point forward to what happens after Judgment Day.
So you said before, what was the term you used about Eden? What was that you used to describe
it? A backtaste of the earthly Eden prior to sin, and a foretaste of the heavenly Eden from which this tabernacle was fashioned and which Jesus says, I'm going to go to prepare a mansion for you.
With about a minute here before we take our first break, Tom, how important is it that this was not just a place where the people were gathered for the worship, and we'll talk about the worship that's commanded there, but that God promises to be present there?
Yes, in fact, at the dedication, after it was completed, the same cloud that appeared on Mount Sinai now covers the tabernacle. And in fact, one needs to look at the very last verse of the book of Exodus. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on worship in the tabernacle. We'll talk about that worship, which, you know, you don't think about worship in these terms, but it's a rather odd concept of worship in the Old Testament because it's, well, at least mostly what God does. Now, if you stop and think about what real Christian worship is, it's the same thing. And we'll talk about both of those things On the other side of the break, Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while. To answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission at ctsfw.edu.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
We'll send you a free copy of the new Christmas Archbook, O Bethlehem. All you have to do is leave your answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean?, on the Issues Etc. comment line before Friday, November 20th, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. 618-223-8382. Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? 618-223-8382. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson. We're in Exodus chapter 40, Worship in the Tabernacle. Now, we've kind of done a really quick run-through of kind of how the tabernacle is comprised. We're basically talking about a courtyard with a tent within a tent within a tent there, the Holy of Holies. Talk a bit about that holy place where God's presence resides, and then how the worship itself was commanded by God. What actually took place there?
The Holy of Holies was the place that only, finally, the high priest on the Day of Atonement could enter into. He would do sacrifices for himself outside of the tabernacle, and then he would go into the Holy of Holies to sacrifice on behalf of the people. Much of the worship was involved with sacrifice, and particularly blood sacrifices, because there's no doubt that the very first sacrifice that we are made aware of in the Bible is when Adam and Eve tried to cover their nakedness with leaves, which of course would decay pretty quickly, and God made them skins from an animal. And therefore, in fact, the word God uses to cover them is also a word from which we get the word forgiveness. So he covered them with the skins of that animal. We today in the church are also covered, not with the skin of anyone, but with the robe of righteousness that is none other than Jesus. So much of the worship in the Old Testament times through the ceremonial laws, and that was depending on what sin you did, depending on the gravity of the offering that you gave. Sometimes it was a cereal offering, a grain offering. Other times it was a bloody sacrifice of an animal. And we know, and this is where we tie into the church, that on that Good Friday in the afternoon, Jesus died during the time that animals were being sacrificed for the coming of the Passover. So we see something quite different in the tabernacle than in the church, because the people were separated from God's holiness. They could give prayers at that one altar of prayers, but they could not enter into the Holy of Holies, which we are able to do today.
All right, so the connection there is that this was God's real forgiving presence among them. Their access to him was limited through and mediated through the priesthood. And Christ's death, now Christ becomes the high priest who has entered and opened the way for us to enter, just like the book of Hebrews talks about.
In fact, yes, quoting Hebrews chapter 9, it talks about the preparations having thus been made, and this is for the tabernacle, the priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties, but into the second, that's the Holy of Holies, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. Now, listen to this next point. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet opened as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. And that first section is no longer standing. And we get that from the very words of Jesus. In fact, these words, or the event, is found in three of the four Gospels, Matthew 27, Mark 15, and Luke 23. And what am I talking about? And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Well, when I was younger, I thought, oh boy, that means that now we can go into the Holy of Holies. No. In fact, God removed himself from that temple. And where is his new temple? In baptism, our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the tearing of the curtain is that God now comes to us, not that we're able to go to God. In fact, in the growing in Christ, they say that precisely. God comes to us instead. And that's a really important thing, because in all of the idolatry temples, people were trying to get to God, which is just the very opposite of the true holy place of the true God.
So that is kind of back to our first question.
Yes.
The essence of this worship in the Old Testament that made it stand apart from all other humanly devised systems of worship of their false gods was that this was the presence of God for the forgiveness of the people's sins, and that this was the way by blood to enter the holiness of God to participate in it. Has anything changed, Tom, between Old Testament and New Testament in essence in the nature of that worship, except that Christ has now fulfilled it?
I would say that what really has changed is we're no longer looking at a lampstand to see the tree of life. You might have it in a stained glass window or something, but now there are other items that represent the new covenant where it is so clear that God comes to us. And I would include in that, of course, the cross of Christ, where he died so that he might come to us. But the three main items are the baptismal font by which God came to us and adopted us into his family, the altar where God speaks to us and gives to us his true body and blood, and of course, as Martin Luther used to talk about all the time, the most important one is the pulpit. And what is the pulpit? It's in essence the meaning of the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. A lot of people say, well, that means you don't do any work on that day. No. Listen to Luther's explanation of how the Sabbath day is kept holy. We should fear and love God that we may not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. So, in the three big elements found in Christian churches, the baptismal font, the altar, and the pulpit, all of them signify God first coming to us so that we are now part of his family and enjoy the blessed gifts of the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and the many promises as found in Scripture.
With only a minute here, Tom, what's the law and gospel of this Sunday school lesson for our kids?
The law is sin separates me from God. The gospel is, in Christ, God breaks down that separation. Remember the dividing wall of hostility due to the curse of the law? Jesus paid the punishment for me, so God no longer holds me accountable, and he comes to me. So I'm separated from him, God comes to me. And the last point I would make, it might be an opportunity for the Sunday school teachers to take the children up into the sanctuary and point out the many things in the sanctuary that remind us that the church is now a continuing extension of the tabernacle, the temple, and soon heaven itself.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Tom will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the bronze serpent in Numbers chapter 21. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
You heard Tom mention the Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Well, you can get a sample of Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. You can also browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the link to Growing in Christ. Click Listen on Demand. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series on responding to Roman Catholic proof texts. We'll talk with Pastor Stephen Parks about James 2:24. That's the big sticky wicket, or some people believe. Faith without works is dead. Does it teach that a man is saved by something plus faith, or faith plus something? We'll deal with that objection from Roman Catholicism tomorrow on Issues Etc. We will also have Pastor Brian Wolfmiller respond to another evangelical cliche. This one's a simple one. You hear it all the time. It really becomes a giant loophole or a blank check. It's a God thing. We'll deal with that tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.